From Wisconsin Public Radio, this is Newsmakers. I'm Ezra Wall in La Crosse, and today we're joined by Kaya Fox, the Executive Director of Habitat for Humanity of the La Crosse area. And I'm excited to talk to Kaya again because Habitat is building their very first house in Toma, which is a new area, and we're going to hear all about that. And the program that the house is affiliated with is one that honors the great sacrifices that our veterans have made on behalf of our country and our community over the years. So I'm excited to welcome Kaya Fox to the program again. Kaya, welcome back to Newsmakers.
Oh, thank you so much, Ezra. I'm glad to be here.
So Habitat is we're going to talk about the Habitat for Heroes program later. We're going to learn about the new homeowner. We're in fact hopefully going to hear from the new homeowner later in the program today. But just for starters, talk about how exciting it is that Habitat Humanity La Crosse area is sort of expanding its reach into Toma.
Oh, absolutely. So in 2022, we were working with the Monroe County Habitat for Humanity affiliate. They've been around for over 20 years, and they built 18 homes in the Monroe County area. And after so many years and a only volunteer-run board, they made the really difficult decision to end their chapter. And so they approached our affiliate and asked if we would be willing to take on the Monroe County service area. And it was just such a really great partnership and kind of a no-brainer for us. You know, Monroe County is really close to our organization and the counties that we serve. So we were able to, in 2022, assume the service area of Monroe County. And so in addition to Vernon, La Crosse, Trempealeau, and Houston County in Minnesota, we have now added Monroe County to our service area. And we were really excited to work with the Monroe County Habitat for Humanity for a really nice and smooth transition.
That's really interesting to hear. What have you found that's different about working in Monroe County than the other places that you work with, La Crosse or some of the other places?
I think it's just that transition period. You know, so they have been served by the Monroe County Habitat for Humanity for so many years. And so they know that that habitat existed. They know the good work that they were doing. So it's just making sure that people understand that, you know, despite all of the really great work that they did, they made that difficult decision. And now it's our affiliate that's working with Monroe County. So just reaching out to all of the contacts and organizations and businesses and volunteers in Monroe County and just kind of helping ease that transition for everybody in the community.
Have you had to do a lot of explaining of that transition? I mean, when I drive around in all parts of the country, like I see habitat this and that, and I like in my mind, it's all just one thing. It's all habitat. But every single organization is run a bit differently. Has that been a bit of a learning curve?
Oh, absolutely. I think that's the kind of the rules of the game is, you know, just educating people in the public that though we're kind of under the umbrella of Habitat for Humanity, that each organization is at its heart grassroots. So the programs and the things that they offer are different. And so that educational piece for folks in Monroe County has been part of what we've been doing since we took over that service area.
And you said those conversations began in 2022?
Well, we've been working with the Monroe County Habitat for Humanity for a good couple years, helping them with the transition and the decisions that they made. But Okay. Officially, it happened in 2022. And so then that's when, you know, boots on the ground, we started reaching out and doing presentations and talking to people in the community.
So how long did it take between like the beginning of those conversations and this actual project that's about to break ground? Or that by the time this conversation airs, we'll have broken ground. How long did it take between those initial conversations and the point where you've got a site selected and you're ready to go?
Well, we actually inherited the lot from Monroe County Habitat for Humanity. So it was one of the assets that they had prior to us taking over the service area. So it was actually fairly quick. You know, it was at the end of the year last year that we assume the title of that property and we're ready to break ground, you know, about 6 months later. So it was kind of a ready-made project and we were very excited to, you know, assure Monroe County and the Monroe County Habitat for Humanity that we were going to pick that torch up and carry it forward as fast as possible. So to be able to go from, you know, assuming that service area and assisting with the dissolution of the Monroe County chapter, to be able to break ground this rapidly really shows, you know, how much we are committed to serving and supporting residents in Monroe County.
How often do you suspect, is this even a fair question? How often are you going to turn around a complete project in Monroe County? Is that a predictable occurrence?
Absolutely. So since Habitat for Humanity serves five counties in our service area, we have currently 11 homes under construction. So we definitely want to make sure that we are consistently building or remodeling homes in Monroe County.
Now, you have a delightful homeowner who's already the project is well underway and about to be putting in all those hours of sweat equity, so to speak, into her new home. Tell me how that process worked of finding Natasha for this particular home.
So we have a pretty rigorous selection process for our homeowners. So last year we opened up our application round and we knew that we wanted our first Monroe County home. And so the Toma property, we wanted that to be a veteran home because there's such a huge presence of veterans in Monroe County. And so we have our Habitat for Heroes committee. We reached out to members of the committee. They spread the word. And through some of our contacts, Natasha Normand heard about our program and was really encouraged to apply for it. So we had quite a few applicants and, you know, we rank our applicants based on their ability to pay for a mortgage, their need for affordable housing, and their willingness to partner with our organization through our sweat equity requirements. And she rose to the top of that list and we were very, very excited. And I know she was very excited to be selected for our second Habitat for Heroes home, but more importantly, our first Monroe County home.
That's exciting to know when you've got the right candidate that's ready to be part of the program. How are the requirements different? The qualifications different for the veterans program versus the other Habitat programs?
It's exactly the same, except for the veteran piece. And so we definitely are looking for, you know, individuals who are veterans or families who are surviving members of a veteran. So, you know, this program is really important to us to give back to those who have given to us. And so, you know, that's the only box that we need to check in order for us to serve families through our Habitat for Heroes program. So Natasha is a veteran of the Army, and she has had a lot of wonderful service behind her. And so we were very, very excited that she applied for the program and that we were able to select her.
I'm interested in hearing more about the Habitat for Heroes program. This is the second such home in your service area that you've built specifically for a U.S. military veteran.
Yes, absolutely. So our Habitat for Heroes came out of our previous strategic plan when we reached out to our community and said, you know, what kinds of programs, what kind of support do you need to see from Habitat for Humanity in your community? One of the resounding messages that we got is finding ways to support veterans through safe and affordable housing. And so it was kind of a no-brainer. When we put together our strategic plan, we put together the desire to put together a program specifically to support veteran and their housing needs. And so that's how the Habitat for Heroes program started. We have a committee of over 30 different veterans, veteran programs that work together to find different ways that we can support needs for veterans in our community. And so we broke ground in 2020 on our first Habitat for Heroes home. And we were able to build that on Hood Street in La Crosse for the Clotty family. And so, you know, just keeping with this wonderful program and the amazing support that we have from the community, we're breaking ground on our second home on Monday.
And that first house, if people are interested in what a Habitat house looks like when it's completed, there's a really cool sort of video walkthrough of that house on your website.
Oh, absolutely. We were very, very proud of that house, not only because it was our first Habitat for Heroes home, but it is just a gorgeous house that was designed by our in-home architect. And it was a very challenging lot in the city of La Crosse. It was small. It was a corner lot. And we were able to put a very, very lovely home on that parcel of land. So we were very excited. And so if you want to go to our website at habitatlacrosse.org, you can see the video walkthrough for our first Habitat for Heroes home.
We hear a lot of issues that concern veterans related to their, you know, ongoing health care, getting, you know, mental health care needs taken care of. And we've heard over the years, especially journalists covering the issue, have heard a lot about veteran homelessness and those kinds of issues. But it honestly hadn't occurred to me that we might need a program like a specific veterans-oriented program for Habitat. How is that a prevalent issue that's very common in terms of veterans having trouble gaining access to home ownership?
I think it's an issue all across the spectrum of housing. There's a lot of different barriers to veterans in accessing different services. And then also, you know, there's the VA loan, but that's not relevant to all of our veterans, especially when we're talking about lower wage earners. You know, so they could qualify for a VA loan, but there's still interest attached. And so when you're talking about the lower income spectrum of our veterans who served our country, that is still a barrier, and its homeownership is still something that's out of reach for them. So, you know, for example, Natasha had actually looked into the VA program because she was very, very dedicated and interested in buying a home, but the price was just still out of reach for her and her daughter.
Well, and especially the way home prices have been, I mean, you and I have talked about this before. I mean, I'm a previous homeowner. I live with my folks in a multi-generational household with lots and lots of people, brothers, uncles, everything like that. Right now, and we all split the expenses. If I were to try to buy a home in our community, it would be a really an uphill battle, and much, much more expensive than it would have been even 5 years ago.
Yes, absolutely. And that's part of the issue. You know, so we've got a lot of veterans that worked really hard for our country, our community, and for our freedom in the United States. And yet when they come home, you know, they're finding it ever increasingly more difficult to kind of invest in that community, in that country that they served. And so at Habitat for Humanity, we're super excited on being able to offer a program that bridges those gaps for our veterans.
So how, this is the second veterans home, the first one was a few years ago. Do you anticipate the Habitat for Heroes program being active more often now that you've got a couple under your belt?
Oh, absolutely. So our goal that our organization and our Habitat for Heroes committee has agreed upon is that we will be completing, well, starting a Habitat for Heroes home every other year. So we completed the Claddy home, our first home, in 2021. And we're 2023, 2 years later, breaking ground on our second home. So we are hoping every other year to be building a Habitat for Heroes home.
You said that you've got 11 projects underway throughout your service area, not just veterans homes, but throughout all of the different projects that you're involved in. Maybe not all 11 items, but where is Habitat working most actively right now?
So obviously, because of the population and the need, and the number of low-income families, our concentration of construction is in the city of La Crosse. So we try and build about half of our projects within the city, but the rest of our projects are all throughout our service area. So we've got projects in Arcadia, West Salem, Ites in Minnesota. We're soon to be starting a home in Stoddard. So we are kind of all over our service area. So we're very excited to be making sure that we're representing and servicing all of the communities in which we work.
We've been talking about the project in Toma and the concentration of veterans who live there. You talked about Arcadia just now, where you have other, you know, the industries there that have lower wage earners who might have trouble buying homes. Obviously, there is in certain parts of La Crosse more poverty than in other parts of La Crosse as well. Do you see even in maybe not rural areas but less populated areas, do you see that where there is an industry that really I'm trying not to use negative terminology, but an industry that might tend to pay less and depend on much lower wage earners for the work that they do, that your services are more in need in those areas?
Yeah, there's definitely unique issues for more rural, less urban populations that we work in. You know, and one of them definitely is, you know, lack of access to higher wage jobs. And so there is definitely, if you take a look at some of the other counties that we serve, you know, Vernon County has some of the highest poverty rates across the state of Wisconsin. And so you definitely see a decrease in overall wages for individuals living in those communities. And so, you know, the population, the total numbers that might not be as high as the city of La Crosse, but the number and the gap can be much higher in rural areas. And so, you know, families have their own unique struggles, but it's still the same issues of, you know, the wages that they earn are just not competitive enough to move them into home ownership without assistance.
Now, everybody who's familiar with Habitat, many of the people who are familiar with Habitat are familiar because they've been at one function or another where they were given the opportunity to sign up and do a work day. If it's been a while since somebody's school or community group or church or what have you has given them that opportunity, how can they find where they can volunteer for a Habitat project?
Absolutely. So, you know, our organization is predicated on our volunteers. You know, we wouldn't be able to do what we do without the help of our volunteers. And I say this over and over again, and people have probably heard me say it over and over again. But each house, so we have 11 homes under construction right now, but each home takes an average of 175 individual volunteers and about 2,500 volunteer hours to complete. So, you know, you multiply that across all of the homes we have under construction, that's a lot of people showing up to help. And so if you are interested as an individual or as any type of group, you know, Ezra, churches, businesses, you know, youth groups, you know, we have so many opportunities for people to get involved at Habitat for Humanity, and you don't need to know anything about construction. We have wonderful staff that will show you everything you need to know, but it's a way, you know, to give back to your community, learn new skills, and have a really great time. You know, my first week at Habitat for Humanity over 7 years ago, I showed up on a job site and I had no clue. I kind of knew how to wield a hammer, but that was about it. And I installed a window. They showed me everything I needed to do. And I drive past that house and that window's still there. So they taught me well. But you can go to our website at habitatlacrosse.org. We actually have an online volunteer application. Or if you're interested in putting a team together to be on our job site, there's information on our website as well. Or you can email us at volunteer@habitatlacrosse.org, and we can get you all the information you need to get connected to our organization.
I want to ask you about funding, because I know there are opportunities for people to donate as well, but people, you're always careful to point out that Habitat houses are not a charity project. The people who become homeowners, they pay for their homes, and they have a mortgage, and they have to make payments over time, and et cetera. How much of the actual cost of running the organization is rolled into the cost of that home, and how much of your organization depends on other sources of financial contributions?
That's an excellent question, Ezra, and it's a constant battle. You know, we have 11 homes under construction, and each one of those homes has a multitude of stacked funding. You know, so we rely on proceeds from the restore, individual donors, fundraisers, grants. All of that has to be carefully stacked for every single home that we build. So each home that is constructed by Habitat for Humanity can have, you know, upwards of 10 different funding sources in them in order to complete each home. And so we rely on our community and our supporters for every single home that we build, because, you know, obviously when the home is complete, we do an appraisal of the property, and whatever the appraised value is what we sell the property to the homeowner for. And so those proceeds, that those mortgage payments are coming in, but they're coming in, you know, amortized over 30 years. And mm-hmm. so for each home that we complete, it's not like we have the money then to turn around and complete another home. So that money to build, that money to buy the doors and the windows and the nails and the property and pay for subcontractors has to be built up front as we're constructing each home. And so, you know, when you have as many homes that we have out there, you really have to be creative and find funding sources all over the place to provide for each of the homes that we build. So there's a lot of work that happens on the front end of our construction projects in order to complete each individual house that we have at Habitat for Humanity.
So is it the homeowner is they've got a mortgage for the cost of the home. It's an interest-free mortgage, isn't it?
Correct.
And then so is that you don't have all of that money like right away, because you can't like take that mortgage and sell it to a financial institution, because there's no upside for them, that because they don't make any interest.
And we do for some of our loans. So I will correct you on that.
Okay.
Not all of them, you know, so there is credit, investment credit that the banks get for purchasing loans from Habitat for Humanity. But that's a very small number of the homes that we complete. You know, the majority of them, we hold the loans and we take in the mortgage payments on a monthly basis.
That's interesting. I've never been familiar with how that works. I'm glad you don't mind me asking just probing questions like that.
Oh, no, that's what I love about you, Ezra.
You mentioned my favorite Habitat thing, which is the restore. I sometimes think that I could just sign over my paycheck every month. But tell people about what it is and what's available there.
So the Habitat Restore is a discount home improvement and home goods store. We take in donations from the public. Individuals and businesses donate new or gently used items to our store, which we are located on Berlin Drive in La Crosse, right by the La Crosse County landfill. And we take those items and we have volunteers that help us bring those items onto the floor, price them, and then we sell them to the general public at a massive discount. But then those donated items generate income for our organization. And so we use the proceeds to help benefit the programs that we operate at Habitat. And we sell pretty much anything and everything. You know, we've got doors and windows and siding and cabinets and toilets and tubs and, you know, couches and chairs and end tables, light bulbs, electrical supplies, plumbing supplies, you name it. The restore is kind of that really great space that, A, you know, it prevents items from going to the landfills. So there's this huge, you know, ecological impact of the organization, but it also allows families to do home improvement projects or upcycling projects, creative art projects, you know, find new pieces that are just really eye-popping and unique that they can use for their homes. So at the end of the day, it's also kind of a housing program in and of itself, because it provides low-income options for families, you know, making repairs on their homes or doing upgrades.
Oh, and the aesthetic value of some of these things is really impressive too. The last time I was there, I don't even need doors, but I spent a half an hour looking at doors, thinking, oh, this very nice antique-looking door could be refinished and be a perfect addition to somebody's home, instead of like some, you know, hardware store, you know, plywood door. I mean, it's really interesting, the quality of stuff. A couple months ago, I got my favorite chair ever from Habitat, from the Restore, for like $40. It was amazing.
I'm I'm sitting at my home computer, and the desk that my computer's on is from the Habitat Restore. The chair I'm sitting on is from the Habitat Restore. The table next to me is from the Habitat. I mean, my whole house is the Habitat Restore. And, you know, you have friends and family come over and they're like, "Ooh, where did you find that?" And you have to say, you know, "I've got this unique piece that we found at the Restore." And so that's another one of the really great qualities of what we do, is because the Restore is just such a unique place to find those, you know, once in a lifetime pieces. And so I always tell everybody, when you're ready to do anything in your house, if you're looking at replacing any type of furniture, you always have to stop at the Restore first.
It's an amazing place. You'll get lost. And if you're looking for something to do this weekend,
stop on out. The Restore is open Wednesday through Saturday from 10 a.m. until 6 p.m. And, you know, our items are coming in by the hour. You know, it's not the same store ever.
Yep. And you can find information about that and all of the activities that Habitat is involved in on your website, which is, one more time,
habitatlacrosse.org.
Kaya Fox is Executive Director of Habitat for Humanity La Crosse Area. Kaya, thanks again for coming on Newsmakers.
No, it was my pleasure, Ezra. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Of course. And later on, we're going to be talking to the homeowner, the new homeowner of this home that's being built in Toma, Natasha Normand. That's coming up. If you'd like to get in touch with our show about this topic or any other subject, I always love reading your emails. You can send them to newsmakers@wpr.org. That's newsmakers@wpr.org. Our program continues in just a moment right here on Wisconsin Public Radio. From Wisconsin Public Radio, this is Newsmakers. I'm Ezra Wall in La Crosse. Today we've been talking about Habitat for Humanity of the Greater La Crosse Region. That's the new name of that chapter. We've been talking about their expansion into Toma and the Habitat for Heroes program that's building a brand new home for an area veteran. At a groundbreaking in Toma, Mayor Mike Murray spoke to the people who gathered, including members of the Combat Veterans Motorcycle Association, who came to honor the new homeowner, who's one of their own.
I want to thank all of you for being here today. All the members of the community, the members of the military, the veterans. Several things you said about sacrifice, commitment, things of that nature. To you members of the military, to the veterans, for what you've done, the sacrifices you've made. So many of us who work in everyday life, who've never served in the military, we often go about our day-to-day lives not recognizing that even as we stand here and speak, there are those serving in other countries across the land that allow the freedom for things like this to occur, that they've sacrificed and given up their daily life, that they don't get to see their families for long periods of time. It's their sacrifice, their dedication. Thank you is not enough for all they do and for all you do. And for Natasha, Aurora, we hope you enjoy the neighborhood. I know there's a couple of older retired people over here that's where the really good candy is on Halloween, Aurora, okay? You go down to Greg and Donna's house, that's where the really good candy is, okay? Welcome to the neighborhood. Thank you for taking over for the Habitat for Humanity and being inclusive into this area. And we look forward to seeing everything grow, and we hope you enjoy every part of your stay in our community.
Anita Jensen has been part of Habitat for Humanity for years. She was involved in the Monroe County chapter before it recently disbanded, leaving its assets and projects in the hands of Habitat for Humanity of the Greater La Crosse Region. Jensen said the Toma lot where the new home will be built has already undergone some pretty significant changes.
In 2019, this place didn't look like this. Monroe County Habitat was approached by the city of Toma and asked if we would be interested in building a house on this lot that had a house that was condemned. And we said, yes, we would. And so we were able to purchase the house for the cost of the demolition. It was around $13,000. And there was a house It was so overgrown that there was a car in the yard that you couldn't even see because of all the overgrowth. And we're so happy that this is going to become Natasha and Aurora's new home. We are so happy for you. We couldn't, you couldn't have picked a nicer family, I don't think. And look at all these wonderful people who are here to help. When we handed over our assets to La Crosse County, it was with the proviso that this would happen. And I knew that Kaya would make good on her word. And we really, really thank you. And thank you all for coming. And thank you for helping build a new house for a worthy veteran.
The veteran who will become the new homeowner of the Habitat for Heroes home in Toma is Natasha Normand. She served the Army starting from 2009, including tours in Iraq and Afghanistan before transitioning to the reserves. Now a disabled veteran with a five-year-old daughter, Natasha is hoping her new home will mark a fresh start. In Toma at the groundbreaking for her new home, I asked Natasha what went through her mind when she first found out she would be a Habitat homeowner.
I had to double-check, look that I was not dreaming, that I was awake, and I did answer my phone, and that this was, I said to her on the phone, I said, is this really happening? And she says, this is really happening.
When I talked to Kaya, I don't think, I've talked to her a number of times, I don't think I've ever heard her as excited to talk about a future homeowner. She said as soon as she got to know you, she felt that you were a very deserving recipient to be a homeowner. I'm wondering what are you most looking forward to about being a homeowner? What changes for you when you go from your current living situation to homeowner?
That it's mine. That I can take everything out of storage for once. Since I was 18, I've always had a storage shed being in the military and constantly moving, and I have a storage shed here. It's been in there for the last 6 years, and now I can finally call something my own. It can be mine, and I don't have to move. I can have all my stuff in one location and not have to worry about moving.
Your five-year-old daughter Aurora is here. What does it mean to her that she gets to have, like, I know she probably has her own space now, but, like, this is going to be, like, her own forever room. And that is so important to a five-year-old.
Yes. She's super excited about painting. We've went over it quite a few times. She's a dino lover, and she's dead set that we are painting her room in rainbow dinosaurs. So.
Rainbow dinosaurs.
Yes.
Rainbows and dinosaurs, or rainbow colored dinosaurs?
I guess we'll have to find out.
Well, she's not afraid to get dirty too. Like, she was, we're at a groundbreaking, and she was, you know, groundbreakings, for people who don't know, are sort of symbolic. Like, there's no actual construction going on, but she was digging away.
Mm-hmm. She's a mama's girl.
So you get to however you want to phrase it, spend a lot of time working on this house that they're building, and Kaya was calling it several hundred hours worth of sweat equity for you. Is that work that you're familiar with, or is this going to be a new experience for you?
I know physical labor. Being in the military, working at Peterbilt, I know physical labor. I don't know specifics of building or framing or any of it, so it's going to be a learning experience, but I'm more than happy with. I love learning, so.
There are a number of people here from the Combat Veterans Motorcycle Association, and you're part of that group. Tell me what being a part of that group has meant to you.
It's meant the world. When I went into sobriety, I cut everybody out of my life, everybody that I needed to cut besides, of course, my mother, my father, and my grandparents. Any other relationship I cut all social media, and I focused on me. And then I did my treatment at the VA. I was there for 7 months. I focused on me. And then after that, I got pregnant with Aurora, and then when she was born, she was 3 months old, and I started going back to school. I had a friend that kept trying to pull me out of my office, kept trying to, you know, get me to come out and talk. And I was very shut down to everyone. And he finally got me out of my office and convinced me to buy a motorcycle. Oh, Lord rest his soul. He convinced me to join the CVMA, and it was one of the best things I could have ever done. It's a group of brothers and sisters that will go hundreds of miles to help support each other. We have lots of them here today from Chippewa Falls, some from over by the Mississippi River. We have a lot of them here today that are just here to support me.
So this is a nationwide group. Where has this association taken you?
I've been in the association for 3 years. And I currently just switched chapters. I was with the Dash 4 here at Atoma, and now I am with the Dash 2 out of Chippewa. And we do rides and events to help support vets. I'm sorry, to help support veterans. And all the work that we do is to help the veteran that is struggling. And I was that veteran at one point. So this, being able to pay it forward, pay it back, is huge. It's what I love to do as a group of us.
Habitat Executive Director Kaya Fox was talking during her remarks at the groundbreaking about why it's so important for Habitat La Crosse to be working with veterans. And she talked about the very high percentage of single mothers who are veterans who are house poor. In other words, they spend more than 50% of their income on housing. How helpful is this program going to be for you, not just in getting out of rental, having something that's your own, but in terms of setting up a future for yourself and your daughter?
Yes, huge. I can take that extra money that is left over, and we can do more things. She's currently, not nowadays because it's summer, but when it's cold in the wintertime, she does hockey. But then we can do more things besides just hockey. More things that she can do. I can show her things. I can take her places. I can, you know, where before I don't have money to go on a vacation, where now I can save that little bit, that difference, and I can finally take her to, like, Disney World. Something huge, like.
She seems like she would dig Disney World.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. She's not afraid of nothing. She's my little rock star.
You obviously served in the military, and you told me previously that you served overseas in Afghanistan and Iraq. What kind of job did you have when you were in the service?
When I was active duty, I was a cook. So, and then when I went reserves, I was a fueler, and now I'm a diesel mechanic. So, got a little bit of everything.
How long do you expect to take before you can move into your new home?
I know they said the last one took about a year. Okay. So that's what I'm assuming would be the time frame is a year.
So it's a year from now. All of your stuff is here, and you're walking in and going to close the door behind you for the first time, and everybody's gone. What goes through your mind then?
I can breathe. A deep breath. I can breathe. That it's finally come true. All my hard work that I have done within the last 6 years alone since I left the military, that it was all worth it. My daughter, when I told her that we're going to be on the radio, we're in the newspaper, and she goes, "So, Mom, we really are famous." And I said, "Yeah." And she's like, "Why are we famous, Mommy?" And I said, "Just remember one thing, hard work pays off."
Hard work, hard physical labor in the military, but there's a lot that comes along with the experiences you've had there that take a lot of processing, and that processing is hard work, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Harder than physical. 10 times harder than physical.
For people who have some of that work of their own to do, now on this side of it, or at least as far through it as you are, what do you say to them?
Don't give up. Even when you feel like you have nothing left, don't give up, because Don't give up and just put forth your complete and total effort. You get out of it what you put into it. So.
Natasha Norman is going to be a brand new homeowner with Habitat for Humanity through the Habitat for Heroes program. Natasha, thank you so much and congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And as Kaya Fox said earlier, more information about Habitat for Humanity of the Greater La Crosse region is available at their website, habitatlacrosse.org. And if you'd like more information about our program, Newsmakers, you can always find that on our website, which is wpr.org/newsmakers. That's wpr.org/newsmakers. This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio.